Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I'm a realtor with Real Broker here in Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to provide massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and find out how they've been able to achieve massive success in their business. My hope is that you take a few things away from their experiences to grow your own business. My guest today is a good friend and fellow realtor, Rachel Thomas. Rachel is a small town girl and grew up in Ville Platte, Louisiana. She's been in the business for 6 years and runs a referral-based business. Rachel uses social media to share her crazy Cajun stories with her audience. Welcome to the podcast, Rachel.
Thank you for having me, Chef.
I love it. She's got a little Cajun in her. Well, sounds good. Well, tell us a little bit about how you got into the real estate business and where you came from and how you got here and give us a little framework.
Oh, wow. Loaded question. Okay. So started out a stylist, cosmetologist for 15 plus years. Actually, I still do have my license. Met with a friend, and she was like, you would make a great real estate agent. I'm like, okay, why? So got with her, looked into it, and it just kept continuing. Like, the people I would meet, they're like, your personality is great for it. And I'm like, okay, great. So yeah, looked into it, started studying, and took the test, and here I am.
There you go. So you started off at a small brokerage.
Yes.
And you kind of had some moves since then, but tell us a little bit about kind of where you started and what you learned there, and then now kind of where you are and what you.
So I started out with Next Home Cutting Edge Realty.
Okay.
Was there for about 6 months, and then realized they were a very new company then.
Okay.
So been a realtor for 6 years. So 6 years ago, that's crazy to think about.
Yeah.
Just had the feeling of wanting to be a part of a team, and so therefore I had switched over to EXP. It was Robbie Brew and team. Being a big team, I felt like it would be like family, and stayed with him on the team for about a year when I realized, I'm like, wait a minute, I think I could do this by myself.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So you felt like you wanted to go out on your own, and you've had some success with doing that, right?
Yes. Yes, I did.
So one of the things that you had kind of said to me was one of the first things that you really felt like would be important would be to find a mentor.
Absolutely.
So you got in and found a mentor, obviously, to kind of help you.
Right. So I would say mentor, first off, I was actually gleaning and leaning and learning from other agents as well.
Right.
Which they also suggested a mentor. So got with a mentor so that way I can have that accountability.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So what did you take from that mentor? So the accountability for one, but I mean, you know, you were newer in the business and you didn't know how to sell real estate. So obviously there's some knowledge that you needed to take from them there too. So, what about it was, like, what did you get from your mentors, or like, what was one thing that you learned then?
I would say the key word is accountability. So it's just structure, you know, here we want you to do this, basically giving you homework, do this, do that, and then report back to me. So not to say that it's a report or it's homework, but they're trying to make you, or not make you, but help you to grow your business.
Right.
So they want you to succeed. Therefore, they're hired basically as your mentor, your coach. So it teaches you how to grow your business, basically. You know, it's like getting in touch with your clients. It's making those calls. That's such a major point. Make those calls.
Yeah. I know we're very similar in that aspect is we're calling, we're using the phones to generate business, but not only just generate business, but speak to our past clients, but also generate new business physically, get out there and work the phones.
Yes.
So what does that look like for you? So you say work the phones, like, you know, like what are you doing? Like you've got a new listing, like what are you doing around that new listing? Are you making calls to the neighborhood? Like what are you doing with that?
So with my new listing, I have a marketing, I don't want to say director, but someone that will market my listing for me. But I will also market my own through social media. So whether it's doing my own video, doing open houses, posting that on all social media aspects. But no, that's one thing I haven't done.
We're going to have to get you on the neighborhood call.
Yes.
Because I know you're good on the phones, and I think you would definitely benefit from that.
Right. You see, there's always something to learn.
Yeah. You know, there's always a level up, right?
Right.
So what kind of things would you tell a new agent that, you know, because we talk about this all the time, 24 is a weird year. A lot of people don't know where they stand, but what would you tell a new agent to like give them like a little bit of encouragement?
New agent, get a mentor, get a coach. If you have to, find somebody that you're close with, like whoever's your mentor, or somebody outside, somebody that you know even is successful that will let you so-called tag along. Lean on them. We're just side by side. Listen to the phone calls. Listen to what they're saying. Go to the meetings. Go to the classes. RAA, all their classes, all the education, get all the education that you can.
Right.
I am the type of person, I have to see it, feel it, touch it, do it. So like, if I'm going to follow somebody, like I'm going to be a leech. I'm going to be like, where are you going? What are we doing? How do we do this? What do you do with this? I want to hear the conversations, you know, whether it's you making a call. I want to hear what are you saying in those phone calls? I want to hear what they're saying on the other side. So you're going to get those objections, you know, some people, they don't want to talk to you. It's going to be like, stop. I don't want to hear it. So it's getting over, or the no, it's getting over the no.
Right.
Don't hang up the phone because they said no. Pick their brain, you know, listen to what they're saying. Like, what are they saying? You know, like I'm browsing. Oh, wait, you're browsing. Okay. So are you going to purchase within 3 months, 6 months, a year?
Right.
So it's getting them to communicate with you and answer those questions, getting them to talk, not just answer the questions, but have that conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. And asking the right questions, I think is always good too.
Correct.
You know, one thing that, and we grabbed lunch before this and we are like very close to the same person. It seems like, you know, we just, obviously we like to talk a lot, and I guess it's natural that we're on a podcast, but, the idea of like talking too much, right. You know, we feel, and I was on in a meeting with one of my, you know, upline, my mentors or whatever you'd say, but he was like, Jamie, you just talk too damn much, you know?
You have diarrhea of the mouth.
Sometimes you need to freaking just shut up and like listen, you know? So we were talking about that a little bit on the lunch before we got here, but what does that look like for you, you know?
Oh, that's very hard for me. Like, and I know if you and I, I'm like, Jamie, I have to interrupt and say this. So like, I'm sorry, I will apologize, but really, it is something that I just put my hand over my mouth, or if I have to, like, take notes. On that note, it was pay attention. Listen, I went on a listing appointment with one of my mentors, and what do you call that? Not, I shouldn't have won a legend. What do you call it whenever they're?
Oh, an icon agent.
Not necessarily. Veteran. Okay, I'd say veteran in that she had been in the business for a very long time.
Right.
It was a investor. It was his property. He trying to flip it. He just had too much on his plate.
Right.
And I mean, she was adamant, like, okay, well, sign the contract. And so he started talking, and I'm like, okay, Rachel, now's your moment. What is he going to say? You know, like, whatever he's going to say, you know, take from it, and whether it's to get him to sign the contract or not. So he was having a story where he was like, you know, like to work with people that are just starting out. I like to help people. You know, like this young man came to me and, you know, he was broke and he needed money and, you know, trying to get him on the right track. And, you know, so what he did was he helped this young man get on the right track and got him a job in the industry.
Okay.
So, you know, the light bulb went off, ding, because I listened.
Right.
So he likes to help people who are just starting out.
This is the investor you're talking
this
about?
This is the investor at the property.
Okay.
He was for sale by owner, you know, so I'm going to go in. I'm going to learn how to get a listing, right? But I'm going to learn also, what are they saying? So trying to get those key words from what they're saying, because hopefully you can, you know, get the listing, right? That's the goal.
Right.
So when he says, I like to help people, and I did, oh, well, sir, I'm a brand new agent. If you would allow us to list it, this would be my very first listing and you would be helping me out. He looked at me. He literally, like a fish, like in Hook, he did this, like the motion of, and he reeled it in. And I did, okay, what does that even mean? And he was just like, I will sign those papers. You can have the house. You can list it for me. I was over the moon. I'm like, nice. See what listening will do?
See what listening will do, Rachel? And you just talk, and yes. And you miss out. But yeah, it's so funny because it's like, you know, there are times when I guess agents who have the type of similar personality to ours will just continue to just talk maybe instead of saying, hey, leave some room for space and leave some room for them to have their own thoughts in it and just
right.
shut up and hand them the contract. And sometimes you just never know, you know.
I've been told that many times, Rachel, just stop.
Yeah. So sometimes we're guilty of that. And so let's talk about one funny thing that we kind of stumbled upon you did you used to do some Boudreaux and Thibodeau skits. So it's a common Cajun joke. So tell us a little bit about that, what you used to do.
So my mom's a retired school teacher. She is very, very gifted. She can... her projects, her mind is just beautiful. Like she can kind of like MacGyver of projects, right? I can give her whatever project and she'll throw something together. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. Just her way of thinking. She can write, she writes well and makes, and she would do skits for school. Like okay. They would have skits. But that being said, the church we went to, they always had a function. They're like, okay, we're going to have say like a birthday party. And mom's like, that's great. We're going to do this skit. I'm going to write it out. So I'd go meet mom. So we made up these characters. I was Boudreaux and she was Vilain. So for those who do not know what French is, our Cajun French, it's probably just Cajun French. I'm not even sure. Vilain means ugly. So that was her name. And yeah, she was pretty hideous, but Boudreaux loved his wife Vilain and he thought she was the most beautiful woman in the world. So we created these characters and I literally like dressed up, we would say like swamp bayou where we're from, you know, I looked like my dad, literally. Like I had the unibrow, I had the mustache, I had the, you know, little goatee, I had the overalls, the white boots.
Right.
The hat on backwards, my hair pulled back. And so whatever the theme of the party is, that's what we went to. So my voice was, "Mais, Vilain, mais you're so pretty, yes, yeah. Mais, my, the most prettiest woman in the whole world. I love you, yeah, baby." So, it was just so fun just collaborating with my mom. Because, like, yeah. I mean, we can laugh. We knew the assignment. We would add, we would just add to it. It was.
People would ask y'all questions and you'd come up with the answers on the spot.
Even like this is a radio. So we would do this interview like on stage, but it was part of the skit.
Right.
And we thought we would be prepared because we had question and answers, but we really did have a good time. If anything, we thought we were funny and we laughed at ourselves. Yeah. But people enjoyed it so much, we kept getting asked to come back. So
right.
Literally just started
right.
Boudreaux and Vilain, their adventures.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was fun.
That is funny. That's funny. And Cajuns are so awesome. They love to like laugh at themselves and it's hilarious, you know, like nobody takes themselves too seriously down here.
Right. And so if you know Ville Platte, like I do try to suppress the accent, but yeah. When I get excited,
it comes out.
It does come out.
Yeah.
But yeah, we talk like that. And then sometimes we have to like explain ourselves because they don't understand a word we say and all.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, we have to kind of have our radio voices right. As realtors, we have to sound like so professional and stuff like that. So
people thought we were uneducated because the way we sounded. So if Cajun French, it was the Cajun French, like dis, dat, dis, and do's. So it was when translated into English, they would say, "Man, look over there."
Yeah.
You know, the THs was the D, so
right.
Those people just couldn't understand them. And we have our own language, our own slang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And look at you now. You know, you're representing high-end clients and stuff. Like, who'd ever thought that you were like, go from like Boudreaux and Thibodeau to like where you are now? But yeah, that's awesome. So maybe transition that with telling us kind of what you're doing on like social media right now. Like, what are you doing to like grow your business on social media? I know you do social media a lot other than do your Boudreaux and Thibodeau skit, which you probably should, you know, which I think would be funny.
I think I'm going to have to incorporate Boudreaux into my social media. I think that would be a great thing. It may grow my business, correct? So just trying to put myself out there, you know, social media, it's free, right?
I mean,
but you want people to know who you are, but you want people to know what exactly you do. So it's not, so for some people, like, I like to do skits. But to do it on my own, sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, it's nerve-wracking. Yeah. It's growing, it's stretching, but people want to see who you are. So it's not about being perfect. It's not about, yeah, I can go and edit the videos, but it's okay to be goofy. It's okay to show you a true self. I'm a human being. I'm not perfect. I'm not a robot. You know, I'm married. I have kids. I'm a mom. I'm a wife. I'm a friend. I'm a realtor. But people really want to know genuinely, who are you? You know, what is your background? Because most people can relate, you know, if you have kids, hey, I have kids, how's life?
Right.
You know, you could discuss those things. You could discuss the struggles. You could discuss the wins. So absolutely. So just using that social media to reach people, advertise your listings. You know, you want to reach, you know, whoever has a potential to maybe list their house, sell their house, buyers. I have people come up to me like, oh my gosh, you're so awesome. I see your videos. I love it. And I'm like, oh my God, which one?
You're crushing it. Yeah, you're killing it. You know,
right.
Even
trying
if you're feeling like you're slow or whatever. But
right.
So do you post mainly on your personal page, or do you kind of have like a business page, or do you do kind of combination of both?
Combination of both. Yeah. I used to mainly do it on my business page, but then I'll do it on my personal. So I don't even know why I have two separate. I wish they could just be one together, but however.
Yeah, and I hear different people talk about what they do for their personal and what they do for their business. But, I mean, obviously, your personal people need to know that you're a realtor.
Right.
And I think that's one thing I don't do well enough is on my social media just really saying, like, I'm a realtor, you know, like, help me.
Yeah.
You know, with...
See me struggle.
or even send me people, you know? Like, they might think, oh, well, just, you know... You post a listing every once in a while or whatever. Like, that's not maybe a good strategy for social media.
So on that, when you said the struggle, and I think, too, it's just, like, it's great for people to see, like, our wins. Like, oh, I got a listing. Oh, we closed. We closed in a day, an hour, you know, all the offers. But it's okay to post, like, the in-between, because that's where it gets real, is from the beginning to the end, but it's what happens in the middle. So that's the hard part. It's just, like, if we could post, okay, this was hard.
Right.
I mean, because we do have those transactions that are the fire.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like the house is burning, it seems like.
Yeah.
But it's okay, because then sometimes we have transactions where it's smooth and there's no bumps. There's no, you know, and it's like, wow, you know, like, okay, we're okay.
Right.
But it's okay to show that too, because I think people want to see, like, it's not all fun and games. It can be. But it's a job, you know, and it's not always easy.
And I think realtors maybe would, especially with this, you know, the lawsuit and everything coming up, maybe realtors should share more of the struggles than the closings, you know?
Absolutely.
If all people are seeing is you closing deals all the time and smiling at a closing, then that may not really show them the real struggle and that real nitty-gritty of, like, what we do.
Exactly.
You know, on social media. And that's a good idea, actually, is, like, really just being able to kind of share some of the struggles that you have in the real estate business, or why a deal fell through, or why that person, I guess it's somewhat personal. So sometimes you kind of, you know, you're kind of wondering if you're sharing something that's a personal thing that maybe somebody has had a struggle and you don't want them to see that, oh, they posted about, you know, this this struggle. So it's kind of a weird thing. It's kind of like I'm friends with a bunch of home inspectors, right? But, like, I'll see sometimes they'll post pictures of, like, oh my gosh, like, look at this problem that's at a house, right?
Right.
And I'm thinking, well, that realtor is going to go online and say, well, there's that property, and now this home inspector is talking bad about the property or whatever.
Right.
So it's kind of like, too, it's like, yeah, you want to share the struggles, but how can we share it in a way that's maybe not ugly for the client?
Correct.
So, but I don't know, like, maybe what would be a good example of that? Like, have you had a post about a struggle that you shared in the past?
I think trying to make the struggle like that, not pinpointing as, like, here's a bonfire, but it was just, like, there were so many bumps, and sometimes, like, more than a bump, it was just, like, roadblock. Like, oh gosh, how are we going to get over that? Well, you basically want to make it as smooth for your client, not have them worry about it. So it's like, in the back end, this is what we're doing. So when I do a closed deal, what I'll say is, like, we had so many obstacles to go through. You know, this is one that all parties were working very hard to get this to the closing table.
Right.
So without saying like, oh, this person did this, you know, it's not calling out anybody, but it really was like a very hard transaction. Like one lender basically dropped my client at the first walkthrough. He had to find another lender.
Wow.
And like basically restart. And it took her, like, she really busted her butt to get that transaction done and closed. And we closed.
Right.
But it took a lot of hard work, sweat, prayers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that might be a good example of something that you could post on social media
Right.
Like as far as a post, because it highlights how cool that client was and how much they worked to get that home.
Yes.
So it's like that may be a good example of like a post that you could do and say something to the effect of, hey, congratulations to my client. This lender totally dropped. Maybe not call out the lender, but just be like,
I didn't. But this lender
totally dropped the ball and right. dropped them as a client.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, like those, that to me, I would be very relatable to that. Like I would see that post and be like, oh, damn, Rachel, what's going on with that? You know, I would see that and be like, that's crazy.
Right.
And other people would be like, that's so crazy. Like, why would that happen? So, you know, we've done other podcasts and Kendra on a previous podcast had, mm-hmm. had told, you know, had highlighted pretty much what she does as a strategy was like, she likes to try to post maybe the problem that mm-hmm. they had mm-hmm. and before they knew it was a problem.
Right, right.
So I think those would be cool because it's like absolutely. All the realtors post of just
unicorns and rainbows.
Yeah, it's all perfect and happy. And like, you know, the reality is,
right.
is, you know, 7 out of 10 transactions are a struggle, you know? And then that way the public will know, hey, realtors are not just going to closings every day and smiling at closings every day. This is like a real job and it takes real skill to get jobs done. And it takes, there are some real struggles in there. So as realtors, maybe we should be posting more of the struggles in the transactions and not just the rainbows and unicorns.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So,
but if anything, we take that idea out of our chat today too. That let's post something like that. But tell us a little bit about more of what you do with your clients. Like, you know, you've got a nice referral based business that people refer you. Like, what kind of things are you doing for your client base specifically?
So I do have a CRM and reaching out to them, emails. Touching base, trying to find out what their birthday is, you know, reaching out for their birthdays.
What do you do with a call or car?
Mostly calls. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Calls, texts. However, even if it's all of the above, if I can catch it or if I may have missed it, I'm like, hey, I'll send them a text like, missed your birthday. Hope it was great. Just following up on clients, basically.
Yeah.
They're in my database, you know.
Yeah.
They're getting the emails. So hopefully they're getting the emails. I do get a lot of clients. They say, hey, I got your email. Thank you so much. It's very informative. I'm like, well, I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah.
Nice. So you're setting those kind of things up for them, like through the CRM.
Correct.
To receive occasional emails from you.
Right. Very important to have at least have those touches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, most people, I mean, I've gotten listings that the house sold 3 or 4 years ago. And I'm like, man, well, I'm happy to have the listing, right? But why did you not use the agent that that had sold it to you or sold the house to you? And I'm like, it just kind of blows me away that somebody would sell somebody a house and just because my realtor didn't reach back out to me, you know, and you hate to see that, you know, but that's a reality that happens all the time. I know you could probably say that it's happened to you
a couple of times. Yeah.
Like, and it's like you get the listing and they're like, oh, I'm going with Jamie or Rachel because they're out there on social media or they're out there and and my other person didn't follow up with me at all.
Like, there you go, Jamie. The follow-up is key, which it's tough, but you have to make a schedule. You have to make it a point to, you know, just reach out. Hey, how's it going? You know, it doesn't have to be a real estate related. It's just, hey, I'm just calling to see how's it going? You know, y'all okay?
Yeah. Seeing something on social media and then proactively
prompts
reaching
you to,
out.
Yeah. Correct.
So I like that about social media. That's kind of how I use social media, honestly, is that, you know, proactively like reaching out to them.
Absolutely.
When I see a major life event happen, I'm like, you know, calling.
Great way to reach out to your sphere, friends. Absolutely. I mean, who doesn't want to be, you know, if you're going through something and your realtor or even your friend, like, reach out to you. Like, that does the heart good.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That goes a long way.
Yeah. And we want to become their realtor, their
Correct.
Friend, that kind of stuff. So obviously doing those kind of things are good. So, yeah, I mean, I guess, is there anything else that you might want to tell, you know, any realtors to give them a little bit of encouragement? You know, I know you had mentioned, you know, don't get caught up in the noise of things going on in the media, but also just the noise in general in the real estate business.
Right. I think, too, sometimes when I first started out looking at all these realtors, I'm like, oh, my God, how do you do it? You can't compare yourself. What you can do is reach out to that realtor. Hey, Jamie, what are you doing? How are you successful?
Yeah.
Find out what works, but make it your own.
Yeah.
But just getting in touch with other realtors who's successful.
Right.
Find out how. If they will answer you and want to spend time with you, reach out to realtors who are successful. Look, we're successful, but we all fail. Like, we, at one time, like, okay, I wasn't successful. How did I grow my business?
Yeah.
So it's just, how did you grow your business? What do you do? What do you, you know, just ask the questions, reach out to other realtors. You know, there's realtors out there like, hey, call me.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would love to get with you. Like, we had a great conversation, meeting conversations.
Yeah.
I think it's just realtors helping realtors, you know, have each other's back. Don't do it alone. Some people like to be loners. I don't like to be alone.
Yeah.
Like, I like to be with people so that, like, if you're successful, like, what's working for you? Because it inspires me. I'm like, I want to do better. Okay, I'm going to, hey, Jamie, I'm going to make those calls.
Yeah, you got to make them calls.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Because, I mean, it just gets to a point where it's like, I feel like I'm stuck in the mud. I'm like, okay, how do I get out of this?
Yeah.
I don't stay stuck in that mud. Like, okay, Jamie, I'm, like, in a bad place. Help me out here. Like, what can we do? You know,
get on them phones.
Exactly.
Or like, get hung up on a couple times. That'll help get you out the phone. Good or bad,
you're
going to get out
your phone. Let's have a competition. Yeah, I got cussed out on the phone. Like,
yeah, good or bad, it's going to help you get out
exactly.
the funk.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but yeah, and that's the beauty of I think, and I think realtors, almost in any market, it's I say the South because I just wanted to share, you know, with this podcast, share our stories and everything that we bring to the table and the collaboration and the friendships that we have across any brokerage. You know, it's not just this one brokerage or just the brokerage that you're at or anything else. Like, realtors in general, I can call, I would say probably 80-90% of the realtors and ask them for help.
Yeah.
The other 10%, I know not to call them because
exactly.
they probably ain't going to help me.
100%.
So I feel like that's probably what we got
going
on. And I think for realtors, I mean, I encourage that. You know, I love
Absolutely.
Just having these meetings, grabbing a lunch, you know, talking about the NAR settlement or talking about all these other things. Like, I think it's so valuable to have two professionals coming, sharing their ideas and their thoughts and trying to figure out a way to make it together. Because if you can, you know, be together, you can figure it out sometimes, you know.
And we're not even from the same brokerage.
No, we're not. Exactly.
We're frenemies. No.
Yeah, exactly. And we don't have it. There's no, and that's the beauty of the Lafayette market is we can share, you know, the same things that's working
Absolutely.
For you at EXP are working for me at Real.
Right.
You know, and look, both companies are amazing. And
we're real experts.
Yeah, exactly. So we've got it. You know, and that's why I wanted to try to expand out too. And you know, thankfully, you know, our crew in our office has been really excited about the podcast and we've been getting all their stories down and
That's
stuff
awesome.
Like that. But when I sent the email out and I saw you responding back and I was like, Rachel, come just jump on a podcast. Let's just do it. Let's go eat lunch and go figure, you know, chat about life and catch up and then let's jump on a podcast. So it's fun to like hear your story and it's fun. And I'm hoping that other agents are resonating with it, but you know, everyone has got a very unique story and we can all learn from each other. And if we just come together,
absolutely,
we're not on the opposite side of the fence. We're on the same side of the fence.
Absolutely.
And the goal is to do more production.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
The things that Rachel does well, I can grab a little piece of that and implement that directly into my business. And the things that I do well, you know, you can implement directly into your business. So I think that's the gist of it. I mean, I think that, you know, if you're interested or you hear something that you're resonating with Rachel, reach out to her on social media. Go find her, you know, because she's got a lot to share in her time.
She's a couillon.
She's a couillon. She's crazy. And maybe she'll do that Bergeron Thibodeau skit for
Absolutely.
You or something. But I really appreciate it. It was fun hanging out with you today and getting your story and hearing everything that you've got going on in your business. And I'm inspired, of course, by, you know, everything you need. Maybe I need to start doing skits or something like that.
Absolutely. But, yeah, we should.
We'll have to do a skit or something. I have a terrible Cajun accent, but I appreciate you being on the podcast for sure.
And well, thank you for having me, Jamie. This was awesome.
Yeah, and I'm so excited to have other people in Acadiana and around the country be able to hear your story. So
hopefully
again,
they'll learn something from it, besides my Cajun accent where I'm from.
Well, that's okay. You know, you gotta, you know, you can't forget where you came from.
I can tell you a house, yeah. I can help you buy one too, yeah.
Where? You could get that. We'll come get that. All right, y'all. Thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast. And thank you so much, Rachel, for joining us.
Oh, but thank you, Sha.
Talk to y'all soon.